Shavua Tov. This is Motzei Shabbos, Parshas Ha'azinu, and a shiur that we had today. We did not get all that far. We had lots of good discussion, but we didn't get that far in the Gemara. We're starting out three lines up from the bottom on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 11b. One note, there is no shiur on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. I expect to be away, but God willing, we will have one again, Shabbos Bereishis. So we're in the middle of a discussion in the Gemara regarding cases in which the ksuba is 100 zuz, as well as cases in which a man married a woman, apparently thinking that she was a besula, only to find out that that wasn't the case. And as we've said before, we have these a very clear sense in the Gemara that there were men, and a lot of them, who cared about whether a woman was a besula, such that he would actually argue that if he found out that she wasn't one, the whole marriage had been based on a misrepresentation, and the marriage is off, and everything should be undone. So Braisa says the following. We already said in our Mishnah that in the event that a woman has been married, we assume that she's no longer a besula. Well, the Braisa says, Tana Rabbanan, Kansa Rishon Lishum Nisuin, V'yesh La'edim Shelo Nistara. In the event that the man, that a man takes a woman in, meaning she comes into his home for the sake of marriage, V'yesh La'edim Shelo Nistara, but there are witnesses that she actually was never alone with him. Inami Nistara V'loshasa Kadebia, or she was alone with him, but not long enough for something to have happened between her and him for the marriage to be consummated. Despite these witnesses, a man who marries her subsequently, if the first marriage ends in whatever, divorce, his death, whatever the case may be, and she marries the second guy can't say after the marriage, oh, I thought she was still a basula. That's nonsense. Shrei konsa rishon, because she got married. Once she was married to the first guy, the assumption is that she is no longer a basula, witnesses notwithstanding, and we'll talk about the witnesses, and therefore, as the Tosfos Rid writes here, she received Zamana, she gets 100 zuz. As a side note, we noted in the Shir, the Ran, in Ksuvas Aleph Hamad Aleph, points out that this gives us a clue, at least within this Gemara, as to the definition of chuppah. Meaning, we've discussed, I think, earlier in the Masechta, that there are different views about what exactly chuppah is. Today, chuppah is the canopy that you stand under, and you have 100 of your family members and your friends, and a videographer, and a caterer, and the rabbi, and everybody is standing there underneath the chuppah. But there is a view that chuppah is actually yichud. It's actually for them to be alone together, in a circumstance in which they could have had relations. So the Ran says, clearly our Gemara doesn't think so, because if there were such a phenomenon, there would be no way that you could have witnesses that she had not been alone with the guy. That's nonsense. So our Gemara seems to support the idea that chuppah is not yichud. Okay, that's a side note. The main point for us is that this braisa sounds a lot like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had already said that once a woman has been married before, then she's assumed not to be a besula, and therefore her ksuba is 100 zuz, and the guy is not able to complain, hey, she wasn't a besula. What our braisa adds is that this is true, even if witnesses say that she that nothing happened with the original guy. So on this, we get a statement from Rabbah, and this is going to be version one of Rabbah, is that he's commenting on this braisa. Amar Rabbah, top of Yubeza Medalef, Zos Omeres. The fact that over here in this braisa, you're telling me that she's getting 100 zuz, and he can't claim, hey, she wasn't a besula. Can you conclude from this braisa that if a man marries a woman thinking she's a besula and finds out it's not true, she still gets a ksuba of 100 zuz and the marriage is still on? He can't claim mekachtaus. Can you extrapolate that from this braisa? To which Rav Ashi says, of course not. Rav Ashi Amar Be'alma La'olam Eimalach Les Laklal. He says, in a normal case, a case in which she has a chazaka of being a besula, it's entirely possible that she loses everything, that it would be a mekachtos. V'sha'ani hacha, but this case is different. Sherei kansa rishon, because she was married the first time. You can't make that claim. She's been married before. And you shouldn't have relied on these witnesses. Tosfos asks, I don't understand. But there are witnesses. What do you do with the witnesses? Tosfos, little Tosfos on our page, on Yubezim and Aleph, Sha'ani hacha, answers Even though the witnesses say that nothing happened, no one relies on them. She was married. He assumed that they were saying it in order to improve her marriageability in a society in which the man is very concerned that she be a basula, so that's why they were saying this. But no one actually believed what they were saying. They didn't believe what they were saying. And this guy knew that they weren't really telling the truth. You can't come in later with a complaint. The Gemara then has a side question here. You know, let's think about this. If you're really telling me that you have no claim that she was a basula at all. So in other words, don't bother going to Beis Din. We're going to turn you away. We have no interest whatsoever in hearing from you. Right? That's what our Brisa here is saying. So we then have to ask a question. What if maybe something really did happen after Kiddushin to the second guy? Maybe there was nothing with the first husband. And then she had Kiddushin with the second guy. And, you know, they have a year between Kiddushin and Nisuin. And something happened after the Kiddushin, before the Nisuin. And in that case, they're prohibited to each other. She's prohibited to the second husband. So why are we not worried that could have happened? Rashi reads this as a challenge to the Brisa. Tosus actually reads it differently, but I'm going with the way Rashi reads it. So the Gemara asks a question. Venechash, we are on the fourth line on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Venechash Shema Tachtav Zinsa. Why aren't we worried that maybe something in fact happened after the Kiddushin? So Amar Shravya Kigon Shekidesh Ubala Alter. Shravya answers, no, we're talking about where there wasn't a year between the Kiddushin and the Yisuin. Rather, it's where the Kiddushin and Yisuin were sequential. So since they were sequential, it was meaning not sequential, but immediate. Kiddushin led right into Nisuin, therefore, you know, nothing happened. The point here, as Rashi expands, is that it's one thing to say she gets a ksuba. It's another thing to say you can't even make a claim in Beis Din. How in the world are we ever going to find out? How will witnesses ever surface if something went wrong? That's the way Rashi spells out the question that the Gemara is asking here. It's one thing to say you get a ksuba 100 zuz. It's another thing to say we're going to throw you out of Beis Din. Okay, that's all version one of Rabba, in which Rabba made his point, asked his question, can you generalize from here to say that that any time she gets married as a basula and then he finds out she was a ba'ula, it's going to be 100 zuz. He's not doing it based on the brisa. He's doing it based on our Mishnah, which said that a woman who has already been married automatically gets 100 zuz and that you can't claim basula. So v'ika de masnila masnisin, some understood Rabba's comment to be on our Mishnah. Besula amana grusha chalutza min hanisuin ksubasan mana ve'elan tanas besulim. We said in our Mishnah that if a woman was married the first time and then she was widowed, she was divorced, she underwent chalitza, after that nisuin, the ksuba going forward is always going to be 100 zuz, and there is no claim of besulim. That was our Mishnah. So Besulam and Nisuin hechimishkachasla. How was she a besula after Nisuin? Kigosh nechnas alachuba v'lo nevala. She got married, and then nothing happened. No edim. The edim were only in the brisa, not in the Mishnah. So Amar Rabba, zos omeres kansa becheskas besula v'nimseis be'ula ksuba samana. Rabba says, hey, we could draw from here that when a man thinks she's a besula and he finds out she was a be'ula, she still gets a ksuba of 100 zuz. Can you make that claim based on our Mishnah? And once again, the same answer from Ravashi. Ravashi Omar lo olam emalach be'amales laklal. The answer is no. Normally, she would get nothing if the claim was that she had been a besula at the time of the marriage. But here, v'sha'aniyacha, here the case is different. She nichnas al chuppah, because she went into the chuppah for the first marriage, therefore, it has to be that she's not a besula. And this guy who says, well, I thought she was a besula, we say to him, I'm sorry, but that wasn't a realistic supposition at all. We don't even think you believe that. And then they ask again the same question, v'lecha shema tachtav zinsa, but don't we need to worry that maybe something happened after the Kiddushin before the Nisuin? And Amar of Shravya, Rav Shravya says, no, kigon shekideshu shubala alter. It's talking about where there was no gap between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, and that's why we are not concerned. Okay, I really wonder about Rav Shravya. Why can't you just say them pshita? Well, then it's obvious that there's no claim of znus. Okay. So the Gemara notes one difference between the first and second versions. The first version, Rabbah made his point on the Brisa about Edim. The second, he made it on the Mishnah, where there was no claim of having Edim that she was a Basula. So, man demasni la a Brisa, if you say that Rabbah's question, can we extrapolate from here, was about the Brisa, where there were Edim, kol shekhin amasnisin, then certainly he would have the same, I'm sorry, not that. If you take the version that Rabbah was asking his question there, and we shut him down, and we said she still gets 100 zuz, even on the Brisa where there were Edim, Sakoshkin Amasnisin, certainly she's getting 100 zuz in the case of the Mishnah, where there were no Edim claiming that she was a Basula. He has zero reason to think that she was a Basula. Uman Demasla Masnisin, however, if you take Rabbah's statement and the answer to Rabbah as being in the context of the Mishnah where there are no Edim, Avala Brisa lo. Then maybe in the case of the Brisa, where witnesses show up and say nothing happened with the first husband, then maybe the guy is like to stand on for saying, I thought she was a Basula. Mishum Dematzi Amar Lana Edim Samri. He could say, I was relying on those Edim. So if you have version 2, you might say that in the case of version 1, where there were Edim saying she was a Basula, then maybe indeed she would not get the hundreds. All right. So that brings us to a new Mishnah, still in the context of the discussion about where the man may and may not claim that he thought that she was a Basula, and this deals with the region of Yehuda. So this goes back to something we discussed back on Dav Zayin, and I'll do a quick recap here. We know that marriage takes place in two stages, the Kiddushin stage and then the Nisuin stage. We also know, other piece of important information, that the geographic regions in Israel in the days of the Mishnah are divided in three. You have Eber HaYarden, the area that is east of the Jordan, Reuven Gad Menashe territory. You have the area that is north of Yerushalayim that is known as Galil. And then you have the area Yerushalayim south that is known as Yehuda. That was the tribal portion of Yehuda. If you look in Sefer Yehoshua, Yehuda gets the land in the south. He has Shimon living among, is part of the territory that is Yehuda's territory. Then you go a little north and you hit Binyamin. In the west you have Dan, and you work your way further north. So so this region of Yehuda had a particular practice. They would do Kiddushin. They would do Sheva Brachos as well, not Chuppah yet, and they would let him and her be alone together, and in fact, perhaps even specifically put them alone together after the Kiddushin, even though they had not yet done Nisuin. The Ritva notes that even in Yehuda, they would do Sheva Brachos at Nisuin again, either to prevent surprise, hey, why aren't we doing Sheva Brachos? Because not everybody necessarily was alone together beforehand, and some weddings would have, some wouldn't have. That would be a mess. Or because the joy of Nisuin is considered panim chadashos. There are new people, and therefore you'd make Sheva Brachos. Either way, why in the world were they doing this? So we give two explanations, two overall explanations with some sub-explanations along the way. The first explanation was from the Ritva. And the Ritva says, yeah, this was just their practice in Yehuda, and he indicates it even happened in other places as well, but it was widespread in Yehuda. The idea was that, not that they were trying to have the marriage consummated at that point, it could happen, which is why they did Sheva Brachos, because you needed Sheva Brachos before they're going to have Bia, but it was simply something that they did. It helps them to become familiar with each other and start the relationship off on a good footing before they actually get married. That's the idea, and it's consistent with a view brought in the Ran that biblically they're mutter to each other after Kiddushin, and that the need for chuppah is a derabanan. Okay. That was one approach. The other approach is much darker. And this is brought from the Ran, the students of Rabbeinu Yonah, the Meiri, and that is that this was only done in Yehuda because in Yehuda the Romans would have the general take the kala before the wedding. So what have you accomplished with this practice? Two different views. The Ran and Rabbeinu Yonah suggest that the idea was that if she's been with the husband, she's no longer a basula, and therefore the general will not take her. So that's one idea. Or Rabbeinu Yonah and the Meiri suggested the idea was that this consummation of the relationship would increase love between him and her, so that anything that then happens with the general would clearly be a case of ones. It's clearly a case of compulsion. She loves her husband, and remove any doubts about the halachic status of their relationship. So what emerges from this discussion back on Dav Zayin is that they would have him and her be alone together before the Nisuin, after Kiddushin and Sheva Brachos. So the point now is, if you live in Yehuda and you did this, you can't come along later on and say, hey, wait a minute, she's not a Basula. I thought she was a Basula. Yeah, you know she's not a Basula, and you're the reason she's not a Basula. And that's what our Mishnah says. The Mishnah again on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, middle of the page. Ha'ochel eitzel chamiv b'Yehuda shelo be'edim. The guy eats at the house of his in-laws in Yehuda, and there are no witnesses to make sure that nothing happens with him and her. He can't claim Besulim anymore, because he will end up being alone with her, because that's what they used to do. So on this point, we brought up a note back on Daf Yud, which I'll recall here. Rav Nachman said, quoting Rava, or Rava said, quoting Rav Nachman, back on Yud Amud Aleph, that Ein Adam Tarech B'Seuda U'Mafsida. We had said that there's a default assumption that if a man says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, he says there were no Besulim, he's honest when he says that. Because he wouldn't go through all of the trouble of courting her and everything else and setting up for the wedding in order to ruin everything. So, I don't understand. You're telling me he wouldn't ruin everything, he wouldn't be lying, but aren't you right here accusing him of lying in Yehuda? Is he a liar or isn't he a liar? So, two answers. Answer number one is that maybe this is talking about a claim that there was znus before the Kiddushin, which wouldn't disqualify the marriage, it would just reduce the ksuba. Leave aside the very good question of what's going to happen to this marriage after this guy makes this claim, but fine. What he's trying to do is just cut it down to 100 zuz to say that something had happened before the Kiddushin. The idea of Ein Adam Tarech Besuda Mafsida is only relevant if the guy would actually be mafsid everything, if he would be ruining the marriage altogether. That's one possibility. Alternatively, Tosfos back on Yud Amud Aleph, Amar Rav Nachman says, the answer is, you're right, our Gemara disagrees with Rav Nachman. The Rav Nachman says he wouldn't lie, our Gemara clearly doesn't think so. Our Gemara paskins against him and says, there is no such safe psychological assumption. Okay, so that's basically where we left off, and God willing, we'll pick up here in 2 weeks.